stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
It all kicked off when I'd found a girl called Abby crushed to death while I was making a corporate video for Granny's Kitchen, global purveyors of ironic neo-vintage knick-knackery.
Can I help you?
I'm looking for Seacole Ward.
Along the corridor, follow the green line.
Cheers. I'd normally give a wide berth to a man who tried to kill me with a forklift truck, but I had unfinished business with Trevor, which is why I was about to pay him a visit.
Morning.
Oh, what do you want? You never know when to butt out, do you?
I thought we could have a nice little chat.
Did you?
Trevor's attempt to drop me the full height of his truck had backfired, which is why I was standing and he was plastered and tractioned in bed. No grapes, I'm afraid.
I don't like grapes.
Just as well. How do you feel?
What do you think?
Painful?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks for popping by. Now clear off.
Bad time for you.
Yes.
Tough.
What do you want?
You owe me an explanation.
I don't owe you nothing.
Anything. You don't owe me anything. And actually, you do. Mind if I sit down?
Yes.
It's not your lucky day, is it?
If you've got time to waste...
I haven't, but you'll have plenty in prison.
I'll call security.
First, tell me why you killed Abby.
Nurse!
Try thinking for a change. You've attacked me twice, once in front of a witness, so there's easily enough evidence to put you away for quite a while.
I didn't kill her.
You tried very hard to make it look like I did.
Ask anyone who knows me at Granny's. Ask any of them. Heather, Ken Colburn, even Brian Tressider.
Heather, Ken and Brian were the corporate trinity who'd nurtured Granny's Kitchen from a tiny business run out of Brian's garage to a multinational manufacturer of stuff you didn't know you needed.
I've worked for them from the start. They know I didn't kill Abby.
You damn nearly killed me.
I was trying to scare you.
Well, that worked.
I wanted you to stop snooping around and leave me alone.
Because you had something to hide.
Yes, but not murder. Abby was a manipulating gold digger who blackmailed men, but I wasn't interested, so she couldn't blackmail me. That really annoyed her.
She took against you because you're gay.
Well, she was a bad loser. So she looked around to see what she could get on me.
And then she found it on your phone. Before I was attacked, I'd been in the warehouse sniffing round where I'd found Abby and wondering why a PA from sales had been on the shop floor. There was a small door hidden behind a tower of pallets. Squeezing an arm inside, I found a DVD. Then Trevor struck.
Have you watched it yet?
No,
liar.
He was right. The previous evening, I'd rushed straight back and slapped the disc on. What I hadn't bargained on was Francis walking in.
Oh, Badger. Was it Springwatch? Good grief.
Yeah, it's not Springwatch.
You're watching porn.
Gay porn. Well, homemade gay porn.
Like homemade chutney?
It wouldn't win any prizes at a village fete.
Maybe the village people's village fete.
There's nowhere to pin the rosette.
Are they at a stationery cupboard?
From the tinsel and vintage bunting, I'd say it's a Christmas party at Granny's Kitchen.
Yes, I've got that Rexall hole punch.
I shouldn't really be watching it.
Whatever floats your boat.
I mean, it's someone's personal video. I'll turn it off.
Don't you want to see what happens in the end?
Well, I think we can guess.
How much did you watch?
Enough to see there was plenty of action, thin on plot, and from the quality, shot on a mobile. Was it for personal consumption?
Well, it was, till Abby nicked my phone, downloaded the lot, and tried to blackmail me.
You're consenting adults. Who'd give a damn?
Let's start with my mum and dad.
They don't know you're gay.
Of course they do. But would your family want embarrassing images of you all over the internet?
YouTube's got an episode of me playing cool punk teacher in Grange Hill.
It's not quite the same.
You haven't seen me with a Mohican. Why was she stashing discs in that cupboard?
She didn't want anything incriminating in her possession. But I'd been watching her.
So when the chance came, you drove a truck into her and then tried to pin it on me?
I didn't kill her. I thought you'd left the motor running.
A convenient industrial accident.
Well, I was damned if I was going to take the rap for your carelessness.
But I didn't leave the engine running.
And I didn't kill Abby.
Then who did? By the end of visiting time, I didn't like Trevor any more than I had before. But I admit, I couldn't help feeling a bit sorry for him.
What are you doing down here?
Tom asked me to run the engine.
While a friend was coining it in an American miniseries, I was boat-sitting his barge on the Thames.
This thing actually goes?
This thing was a working barge.
But you're not a working bargee.
Oh.
you have any idea what you're doing?
Oh, ye of little faith. Ah. Oh, pass me the wrench, wench.
You're not going all testosterone on me.
Don't he like a man with dirt under his nails and grease on his hands?
If this is some bizarre fantasy role play, you can play on your own.
There's no change there, then. Oh, I can't touch phone.
This be Captain Pugwash's answering service.
Oh, don't tell me you've been press-ganged aboard HMS Paris.
Ever since he shunted my supporting wall.
Is that street for something gynecological?
Mm. Glad I don't live in your mind.
Only in my heart. Is the salty old sea dog available to parley?
He's greasing a piston.
Another euphemism too far.
Hang on, he's just wiping his hands on... My Kath Kidston apron?
I thought it was old.
New vintage.
Oxymoron.
You're the moron. Here, take the phone. It's the Rear Admiral.
Hi, Morris, what gives?
The Woody Project.
I thought no news meant someone else got the part.
It's a slow burner. You can sing, can't you?
On a scale of Jose Carreras to Joe Cocker, I'm sort of Chris Rea.
References which are lost on me. I'm more Hello Dolly than Hawkwind.
You've told me nothing about this Woody Project.
I know nothing. That's the way they roll. They say it involves music. Read that as you will. All set for your night of 1,000 boars.
Granny's Kitchen was launching a line of vintage-style ready meals, and I'd been booked as stunt double for an exec with a phobia of public speaking.
You'll have to smarten up. None of your Dylan on a bad hair day.
I do own a suit.
Not the one that makes you look like a 70s DJ. You'll have Operation U-Tree knocking on your hatch.
That suit is a timeless classic.
If you say so. Just remember, it's a conservative audience, so keep it light and bright, no Brechtian alienation techniques. Now, I have an overwhelming urge for sushi.
No one has an urge for sushi. It's just comfort food for metrosexuals.
I'll let the horny-handed son of the soil get back to his boiled beef and carrots. Ciao.
Suited and booted, I rocked up to the Edwardian splendour of a Mayfair hotel where I was greeted by the MD's PA, Heather, loitering in the lobby.
Hello, Charles. Are you doing the music?
No.
Must be the suit. Are you with the caterers?
Why would I be with the caterers?
I thought actors do waitering between jobs.
They're usually waiters between acting jobs, and I've got a job.
Oh, well done, you. What are you in?
This.
What?
This, the product launch. I'm playing an exec who hasn't developed stage fright.
Poor old Bob.
I'm poor old Bob Standin.
All becomes clear.
So, where do I have
Hello.
To be?
Hello. Everything all right?
All under control, Brian.
As loyal now as when they ran Granny's Kitchen from his garage, Heather and Brian could never have foreseen their cottage industry morphing into a global brand.
Your wife went out 10 minutes ago.
Did she?
Said she was going to the hairdresser.
Oh, hairdresser, right. You had your hair done?
Yeah, a bit. Well, yes, I had it done for tonight.
It looks very nice.
Oh, does it? No. Really? Oh, thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
All set, Charles? Have they given you somewhere to change?
I am changed.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And that's a suit. Good. Well, I'll see you later.
I'd better find Will.
He's in the ballroom.
Right. Just so you know, Will, I'm here.
It's good to see you, Charlie. Whatever moron dropped that, don't do it again! Talk about lumpen proletariat.
Will and I were politically antithetical, but pragmatism in the form of silly money had persuaded me to take the gig.
Would you do me a huge favour?
Sure.
Track down any nervous suits and give them a masterclass in relaxation techniques.
Done.
Next pleb who drops anything, I will personally drop you out of a top floor window followed by a P-45.
Here come the people in grey to take me away.
Some actors go in for yoga or Alexander. My relaxation technique involves a bottle and a glass.
$1 scotch.
Thanks. What do I owe you?
Oh, put your money away, Charles.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought it possible, but Shelley was wearing less tonight than last time I'd seen her at Wimbledon when we were drunk as skunks on free champagne courtesy of Granny's Kitchen's corporate entertainment.
I'll have a vodka and tonic.
Coming up.
Large.
Got it.
And stick them both on the Granny's Kitchen tab.
I didn't know there was a Granny's Kitchen tab.
Yeah, I was bound to be. Oh, not really cut out for the corporate world, are you, babes?
You noticed.
Well, I won't be after next week.
I'd forgotten Shelley was working her notice.
You here to make that video?
At the moment, I'm supposed to be relaxing nervous speakers.
My heart bleeds for them on their six-figure salaries.
One large V&T.
Cheers. Here's to unemployment.
Are you here for the launch or are you still out for revenge?
What do you mean?
When we met at Wimbledon, you were getting your own back for your redundancy by drinking the company's booze.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Uh-oh, here comes Morticia. Hiya, Trish.
Stella.
Shelley.
Shelley, sorry, I didn't know you'd be here.
Yeah, last chance to say goodbye to everyone, if you'll excuse me. Things to do, people to see.
I suppose if you've got the figure, you might as well flaunt it.
Trisha Colburn had also been at the Wimbledon shindig and was married to the head of marketing.
Ken says you've stepped in at the last minute.
Well, when she smiled, her papery skin stretched tightly over her cheekbones, and I remembered Ken telling me just how ill his wife was.
Have you got everything you need?
In life.
Here.
Here, yes, of course, thanks.
Don't mind me asking, but Ken's so stressed. He's in the gents going over his speech. I don't suppose you
teach him some tricks of the trade. Leave it with me.
Without further ado, we are thrilled to present our new range of vintage-style ready meals like Granny used to make.
Sorry, Ken.
No.
I saw Trisha in the lobby.
Is she all right?
She's fine, yeah. Trisha's health was clearly a source of constant concern, and I could see he didn't believe me.
She's supposed to be resting. I'd better see what's going on. She gets very stressed about me making speeches.
It was a textbook case of transference. I returned to the ballroom in time to see Ken on stage gripping the lectern with white knuckles.
Testing.
I'm with you in a sec, Ken.
Funny how they go to pieces under pressure.
Public speaking's scary.
It just makes me laugh, the way Ken and Brian are all ballsy in business. But stick them on a stage and they're like little boys.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Congreve could have written it for just this moment.
OK, Ken, from the top, and we'll play in the visuals on the screen behind you. In your own time, we'll take our cues from you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And may I say what a pleasure...
Under the glare of the lights, he couldn't see Trisha biting her nails, Heather willing him on, or Shelley enjoying the discomfort of her former boss.
Granny's Kitchen has come a long way from the early days when we ran things from Brian Tressidy's garage.
The screen filled with a shot of a much younger Brian and Ken outside a garage loading stock into the back of a transit.
As you can see, we had less storage space, but a lot more hair. Pause for laugh.
Not the stage instructions, Ken.
Sorry. But Granny's Kitchen has come a long way in 20 years. And here we are, at the dawn of an exciting new phase.
Never had excitement sounded duller as Ken drained the life out of the words.
So without further ado, we are thrilled to present our new range of vintage-style ready meals, like Granny used to make.
writhing flesh, two faces came into focus. Abby and Ken.
They say we eat with our eyes.
Ashen-faced, Trisha stood, wobbled, then leaning on her stick, stumbled towards the door.
Well, I'm sure that what you see behind me now will whet the appetite of everyone in the room.
Yeah, I'm starving.
Sorry, I don't get it.
Oh, yes, you do.
Thrown by the heckle, Ken turned to the screen.
Get it off!
Heather stared, at once mesmerised and repulsed by the images.
I said, get that off now! For God's sake, someone turn it off!
Heather chased after Trisha, leaving Shelley struggling to suppress her laughter. Realising she'd been clocked, she turned to me.
I said I'd get my own back. see you around, Charles.
But I was more concerned with Ken, who now marched from the stage, incandescent with unrighteous indignation.
Someone's going to lose their job for this!
Leaving Will to interrogate his technical crew, I followed Ken through the hotel lobby. He walked with purpose and the urgency that meant one thing.
Here, use my Zippo.
No!
What?
It's electronic.
Oh.
You've melted it.
I'm so sorry. It looked real. Here, have one of mine.
Oh, what the hell? I haven't got much else to live for.
That was awkward in there.
Is that what you call awkward?
I've been in a few embarrassing scrapes myself over the years.
I know you're trying to make me feel better, but I've just seen my marriage and my career flushed down the pan.
It might not be that bad.
Oh, really? How would Frances react if she saw you in a porn video?
Well, it's an unfair comparison. Frances is beyond being shocked by my stupidity.
And Granny's kitchen? Our image is whiter than white. If it gets out that one of their executives was being blackmailed...
So Abby was blackmailing you?
She tried.
I was going to have to apologise to Frances. She said Ken was a likely target for blackmail, and I dismissed the idea. The question was, did Ken kill Abby?
What an idiot.
Me?
Me!
Oh.
How did I not see her coming a mile away?
It's easy to be flattered by the attention of a younger woman. I speak from experience.
She just said she was ambitious to move on in the company and asked for my advice. So we went for a drink, then one thing led to another.
Which led to her flat?
It didn't cross my mind she'd hidden a camera. It's the sort of thing that only happens in films. Then a few days later, she cornered me at work and said it'd be all over the net if I didn't cough up.
What did you do?
Panicked.
After that?
I told the one person I could trust.
Brian.
He's been so loyal to me and Heather, even Trevor. Everyone from the old days who helped to set up the business. He could have left me to sort it out, but you know what he did?
What?
He called Abby up to his office and offered to pay her off. They agreed an amount and settled it in a civilised manner. Even paid her in cash so it shouldn't be traced.
He's quite a friend.
Trouble is, high principles don't work when you're up against someone with no sense of morality. Abby thought she'd struck gold and went back for more. Can you imagine how I felt? In one moment of weakness, I cheated on my wife and involved my oldest friend in this filth. I was so angry.
I could see just how angry Ken was, but was he angry enough to kill? I braced myself to ask the big one when...
Ken, it's Tricia.
Oh, no, what's wrong?
She's had a bit of a fall.
Oh.
No, she's okay. She's lying down, but you ought to come.
How can I?
I really think you should, don't you, Charles?
Heather's right.
The three of us traipsed back through the hotel lobby. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to gate crash this reunion, but if I was right and Ken was Abby's murderer, there was no way I was letting him out of my sight.
There you are, Charles.
Will.
You do remember me?
Yeah, look.
It's no big deal, but this launch has already been hijacked by a porn movie and one of the key speakers has done a runner.
I know.
So I was just wondering...
Not now, Will.
What do you mean, not now?
I've got to stay with Ken.
What are you talking about?
I need to ask him something.
Whoa, just wait a minute.
He pulled me to one side while I watched Heather lead Ken away along a ground floor corridor.
I'm sorry, Will, but this is bad timing.
Well, you're not kidding.
There's some big stuff going down.
Big stuff going down? You're not in Breaking Bad.
Thanks for reminding me.
Look, quite soon this madhouse will be heaving with industry players.
Yeah, I know.
And it's my job to give them a slick production.
Well, I've really got to catch up with the others.
You're not being paid to play amateur cops.
Talk of money normally brings me to my senses. Unless there's a murder to solve. After collaring several members of staff who directed me in turn to the hotel gym, the sauna and housekeeper's office, I tracked Ken and Tricia to an anteroom behind the ballroom.
Please, stop apologising.
But I'm so sorry.
No, Ken, sorry's what you say after a row.
Yes? Sorry to interrupt.
What do you want, Charles?
Just to see how Tricia is.
How do you think she is?
Ken,
well...
I'm fine, thanks, Charles.
Good.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't expect you, Charles, or I'd have got tea for you too.
No, that's fine.
Milk, one sugar for Ken.
Thanks.
Sweet Earl Grey for Tricia.
Thank you, Heather.
Mind if I come here?
You might as well join the party.
Tea, Brian?
No, thanks. I hear you had a nasty turn during the rehearsal.
Not me, Tricia.
I meant Tricia.
Silly me.
I'm fine now.
You look a bit wan.
I'll be okay.
Good. How'd it go, apart from that?
Ken looked at Tricia, Tricia looked at me, and Brian had the bemused look of a stargazer who's just missed a once-in-a-century meteor shower.
What is it?
The only person to keep her distance was Heather, who stared fixedly at her shoes.
I hate to bring this up, but do you think you'll be up to doing your presentation, Ken?
Actually, I'm not feeling that great.
Of course he'll do it.
Tricia?
For goodness sake, Ken, pull yourself together.
Well, maybe I should...
You stay where you are. Ken's got something to tell you.
Now's probably not the best...
Tell him.
Something happened I should know about?
You already know.
What?
Ken?
She finally got her way.
Who?
You know who, Abby.
Abby's dead.
Well, somebody got hold of the DVD.
Oh, no.
You knew?
Now it was Brian's turn to avoid making eye contact.
Were you in on this, Brian?
How do you mean?
The girl's death.
No. God, no.
So it was all Ken's idea?
What?
No. Look at you both.
I didn't kill her.
Of course you didn't.
How could you even think that?
I didn't think you'd screw her. Why should I not think you'd murder her?
Tricia, please.
Oh, no.
You know Ken better than that.
I thought I did.
He made a mistake.
A stupid mistake.
As a friend, I tried to help him.
Help him? How?
By paying off that girl.
Oh, no.
Ken wasn't the only one who'd made a mistake. Looking round the room, I realised I'd been making mistakes from the moment I accused Trevor of killing Abby.
It wasn't Ken.
Of course it wasn't.
If you don't mind, Charles, this is really none
I was so hung up with blackmail, I completely failed to think of love. Didn't I? Heather. Eyes swollen with tears. Everything she'd lived for, everything she'd loved and tried to protect, began to fall apart right there in that nondescript little room.
I was thinking of the business.
Heather?
You've always looked after us, Brian. You've been loyal from the very beginning.
Oh, no.
Everything I've done is out of loyalty to you. I think of you as family, and however big Granny's Kitchen gets, it's still a family business.
What did you do?
When I saw her in your office and I saw you giving her money, I thought she was blackmailing you. And I know you're happily married... Oh. And I know you've never looked at me in any way other than a friend and a colleague, but I wanted to protect you.
Oh, Heather.
I was wrong. I know I was wrong, but I did it out of love for the company and Ken and... you, Brian.
I couldn't justify Heather's actions. After all, murder is murder. She didn't need me to tell her that whatever her motives, it was the end of the journey for her. Within the year, there was blood on the handmade rag rug of Granny's Kitchen, and Brian and Ken were ousted in a vicious corporate takeover. Keep the tiller steady.
The Thames is a wide river, Charles. I think I can just about manage to steer a straight line.
But can you steer and drink at the same time?
I'm not drinking at the same time.
You are now.
What's the occasion?
Money came through from that corporate video. Here's to our wives and sweethearts. May they never meet.
Unfortunate.
Too soon.
Much.
Mm. Champagne always tastes better outdoors.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
You, me, the great River Thames, what's not to like?
Cramped cabin.
That's just intimate.
The smell of diesel.
I dab it behind my ears.
Pump action lavatory.
Okay, it's not all wind in the willows. And I must admit, I'm looking forward to a proper shower when we can move back into the house.
Aren't we being a little presumptuous?
Well, I kind of assumed.
You kind of did, didn't you?
I know, it's technically your house.
Not technically, Charles. It is my house. You take things were granted.
Don't pretend you haven't enjoyed life on board.
It's been novel.
If we can rub along in a narrow boat, we can rub along in a house.
This reference to rubbing.
Give a chap a little hope.
There's no romance in the verb. Now, massage, on the other hand.
Francis?
What?
Are you offering to massage my hand?
A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Well, how about we step down below?
I'm holding the tiller.
That is the most erotic thing I've heard in my life.
Maybe we should find somewhere to moor for the night.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Vice Admiral Paris.
We all know your vices, Charles. Where are you?
Drifting past the National Theatre.
Literally, or is that a metaphor for your career?
What do you want?
Da, 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 da.
Are you having a seizure?
the woody job. It's yours.
What? Wow. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I thought you'd be pleased.
Pleased? I'm thrilled.
It's even got a title. Beyond Bay City. Oh. And you're playing Woody in middle years.
Hang on, they want me to play him. I'll need a voice coach.
I sent them your tape and they said your Edinburgh accent's spot on.
Edinburgh?
You know, the Bay City Rollers were an Edinburgh band. Charles? Are you all right?
Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
What do you mean, goodbye?
Only Morris makes you go that colour.
Unbloody believable.
Want to share?
I don't even want to talk about it, but this time he's real.
Charles?
What?
Why has the engine stopped? Tell me you can start it again.
Eventually.
We're drifting down the Thames.
Yeah, I know. And the sun's setting. Gorgeous, isn't it?
Have you nothing else to say?
How about... I love you.
Oh, sweet, but impractical.
Come here.
Charles.
Hmm?
What are you doing?
Enjoying the moment.
All very romantic, but you're leaning on my tiller.
Francis.
What?
Shut up and kiss me.
Charles!
What?
There's a boy!
Ignore him.
Not that kind of boy!
What? Oh, fuck!
In Corporate Bodies. Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Will was Tim McInerney, Brian Michael Burtonshaw, Heather Jane Whittenshaw, Trevor Wilf Scolding, Ken David Cann, Tricia Heather Craney, and Shelley Jamie Barbakoff. Corporate Bodies was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.
As long as I gaze on Waterloo Sun.